Thank you. Thank you, Linda. So, as she said, we're going to speak, I guess, about a specific project of the U.S.-Mexico Border Health Commission, which is obesity. And the acronym we came up with was Border Obesity Prevention, and in Spanish, Prevención de la Obesidad en la Frontera, BOP and POF. So, let me see here. My disclosure, I have none to disclose. Just a little outline of the presentation. I want to give a little bit of background about U.S.-Mexico border. Some folks have some experience with that. Very briefly mention the Border Health Commission, because this is an initiative of the Border Health Commission working with the 10 states, the four U.S. states, the six Mexico states, and the two countries. And there's a couple of antecedents that I just wanted to mention briefly. So this is a process, this BOP, Border Obesity Prevention Planning for the Border, is a bit of a process that we're that follows on the Healthy Border 2020 document that Robert just talked about, and it's actually some concrete planning that's gone forward with a binational work group, and it's not completely finished, and we're almost finishing our document that we'll be submitting to the Border Health Commission. I just wanted to give this quick sort of busy looking slide. I think it's important to recognize that almost a quarter of Americans and a fifth of Mexicans live in those 10 states on the U.S.-Mexico border. So that's out of a total, that's a total of 70 million people on the U.S. border states, 20 million in the Mexican states. Something called the border region, where we live, where many of the sister cities are, is defined federally by something called the something in the La Paz Agreement called the 100-kilometer buffer on each side. And there's roughly 14 million people divided evenly on each side of the border. Very dynamic. A huge amount of travel and trade occurs between the two countries, as indicated by those arrows. This map, you can't probably see this very well, so I highlighted it. This is just to indicate recent data on obesity among adults, and shows that in terms of looking at data for adults, the United States is reported out of this group of 34 or so countries to be number one in the world, followed closely by Mexico at number two. And of course, data is always interesting. You know, you can look at it by adults, you can look at it by ethnicity, gender, and there's a lot of different things that come out of it, but it's important to recognize, I think, that U.S. and Mexico have a lot in common in this respect, and why it's particularly important where it comes together on the U.S.-Mexico border. I just put this slide in because this is what Mexico had. Mexican origin population by percentage. Just this shows you that that in the United States, many, many people of Mexican origin live along those along the border in the four states that make up the border states: Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California. Dominate. Now, here's what I was mentioning about data and how you look at it. So, if you just look at children, and this is recent data from CDC, children and adolescents aged 2 to 19, prevalence of obesity is now fairly stable at 17%, but the prevalence among children and adolescents was higher among Hispanics, 22.4%, and non-Hispanic blacks, 20%, than among non-Hispanic whites. So when you look at children, the highest risk is in Hispanic kids, Latino kids. If you look at the prevalence of obesity in Mexican adults, it's pretty, you know, the country as a whole is overweight and or obese, affecting men and women of all ages, all regions of Mexico, both urban and rural, socioeconomic status, and levels of educational attainment. Obesity is higher in northern Mexico than in less developed areas, central and southern regions, not including Mexico City, because Mexico City stands out as well along with the northern states. It's higher among those with higher SES, higher among those with lower educational attainment, and this data comes from Dr. Barquera's publication, and the Encuesta Nacional de Salud y Nutrición, a very important national survey that's conducted periodically in Mexico, and a lot of the obesity data comes from that survey, much like our BRFSS in the United States. Oops, gotta go back. So this is just a summary of the national survey in Mexico, recent data from their last survey in 2012. And it generally shows that adult obesity is higher in some of the northern states as well as in the central region as well. Now, I guess this, and again, this is data for the United States. For you that are following obesity data trends in the U.S., the Appalachian region, Mississippi Delta, southern states have been leading the way. And this doesn't really show, I guess, if this would be a different slide if it was children and by ethnicity. But you can see that even adult obesity prevalence is creeping into the border states, particularly New Mexico and South Texas. But there's high pockets in Native American populations in Arizona and in the Imperial County area of California. This is just data that we took in Texas using adult data for the CDC Behavioral Risk Factor Survey and looking at Texas border counties versus non-border counties. And you can see that Texas border counties, which is that 100-kilometer region of the border of the state on the border, significantly higher rates of obesity than in the non-border area. And we have about 85% Hispanic population in our border region, the highest really of any place along the U.S.-Mexico border in terms of percentage Hispanic. I just wanted to point out this doesn't show well, I guess it does. It's that little corner in the bottom is the southernmost U.S.-Mexico border county, Cameron County. There's been a very interesting study going on there for the past 10 years with Dr. Susan Fisher-Hawk at UT School of Public Health in Brownsville. 10-year cohort, and so that's only a couple thousand people, but they've been followed for 10 years. And the average age of that cohort is now 46 years old. And you can see that their prevalence of obesity is 50%. So 88% are overweight or obese, and 27% have diabetes. And 11% of those were undiagnosed. So those rates are startling, to say the least. And so I think Cameron County, perhaps, is very much, the ground zero for the Texas border, and probably matches anything along the entire border. And it's quite a significant population in Cameron County and growing pretty quickly. Anyway, getting quickly back to what the Border Health Commission's doing. Robert mentioned the Border Health Commission, just to let you know that it's an agreement between Mexico and the United States that established an important platform between the two countries, 26 members, the secretaries of health of both countries serve as a chair. The Healthy Border 2020 report, as Robert said, identified obesity under as a priority under chronic and degenerative diseases. If you look at the history of the U.S.-Mexico border, everybody was worried about infectious diseases for 100 years. They're still worried about infectious diseases like dengue fever, tuberculosis, and other communicable diseases. But no doubt about it that obesity and diabetes are emerging as probably the biggest impact along the entire border on both sides. So there was an important meeting held in McAllen in 2013 where we convened people to present from across the border about their best practices, what was going on. It was a well-attended meeting. We had federal dignitaries and many folks from both sides of the border. And one of the more important things that came out of that was a decision to establish a binational technical work group to continue working on obesity prevention and develop a strategic plan. And this was facilitated by our good friend Dr. Irata from the support of the Mexico section, who's done a great job of helping us develop plans. And I guess what happened is, frankly, a lot of things were determined, that we needed to do. We had to align, we had to coordinate, and we had to mobilize resources. But in order to start, we determined that maybe we should just pick one block out of all these important areas of the strategic map. And so we went to D1, the influence how to influence public policies relevant to border obesity prevention, thinking that that was a place to start, that maybe the Border Health Commission could have a particular role. So we focused on that, and it was also the social ecological model, which basically talks about how everything influences everything else, is the way to try to address our strategic planning and our objectives, is to see how we impact obesity at each of those levels. So four work groups were established. These are, in any strategic plan, I think, in obesity prevention, these would be probably straightforward work groups: healthy eating, physical activity, breastfeeding, and communications. And, you know, we're in the midst of preparing a report, what we call a white paper, policy paper, this binational work group, which has been working very well together, held a workshop in Laredo in August of this year for 3 days, and we produced a number of objectives and specific tasks, and I just want to highlight a few just to let you know some of the highlights, as I say. So promote healthy, you know, foods, obtain baseline nutritional data for the border region, promote healthy beverages, access to clean water is still an issue in many areas along the border. And in general, it's just an important recommendation to substitute for sugary beverages. And Mexico, and I think there may be other presentations at this annual meeting, but has made, leads the way in terms of some government interventions regarding obesity prevention, including implementation of soda taxes. Related to physical activity, the group is working on developing a border physical activity plan and to support folks working at the local level and how they can take action, a surveillance system to assess and evaluate physical activity levels. And then also, since we're working with the Border Health Commission, how to integrate this into the actual policies of the commission, as in walk the walk, and talk the whatever the expression is. And then breastfeeding recommendations. We had a very strong representation. So I know we had the state, several state leads in this area. So we had a lot of interesting discussions. I think Mexico has some real lessons to be learned in relation to using formula less and whatnot for pregnant mothers, not pregnant mothers, but with their management of their feeding of their babies. So so promote laws and policies supporting breastfeeding by working mothers, try to work on maternity leave, and in this area of improving hospital practices, ensure maternity care practices are fully supported for breastfeeding. And let's see. Communications, create a greater awareness of border obesity prevention, identify specific Border Health Commission members to champion BOP, try to get the Border Health Commission to actually adopt some of these recommendations and carry the message in a more sustained and coherent way, increase the knowledge of medical and health professionals regarding healthy weight, identify curriculum to include weight management and nutrition. I guess felt there's a need for the clinical interface with patients is not strong enough regarding border obesity prevention on the border. In some ways, I think the border is behind this wave of interest in preventing obesity that you see in other parts of the country, and which is often the case along the border. So I think the topic is very much warranted. promote effective border obesity prevention communication messages. This is multimedia stuff. I just think that even though there's not a lot of evidence that evidence-based practices regarding media for obesity prevention necessarily work, because you can't sustain these messages over time, but there are some good examples locally of things that are working. And I think that the border culture is such that radio and communications, if it's done in a coordinated way in sister cities, and they're sister cities for a reason, they have strong relationships, and be much stronger than doing it on our own. And so there's going to be an effort to try to do this in a more coherent manner. I just put this slide up to let you know that this process started in 2012. with some regional and local meetings to get feedback from local communities. Then that very large summit in 2013 in McAllen, Texas, where the Binational Technical Work Group was established. And that led to a small workshop in Austin that led to a bigger workshop in Laredo this past August, where we focused on D1, influencing public policies. We identified the four priority areas, which I mentioned. And a policy white paper is being drafted. It's in its final stages. It's always interesting to try to develop a binational report. The Healthy Border 2020 is an example of one that the commission has produced. It requires a consensus between both sections, and it remains to be seen how we generate this final report on behalf of the U.S.-Mexico Border Health Commission. So basically, it will be prepared and reviewed by the commission, and they ultimately determine how they're going to integrate it into their, you know, their practices for next year's work plan, for example. So, you know, the idea would be that this information would represent the work of a binational technical work group, and that organizations and entities along the U.S.-Mexico border would start incorporating into their local planning. But that won't happen unless the Border Health Commission encourages it through their outreach offices, which exist in all 10 states. And I wanted to just mention Dr. Elisa Aguilar, who passed away. She was the director of the Chihuahua Outreach Office of the U.S.-Mexico Border Health Commission, Mexico section. Wonderful lady who worked with us and me particularly on a number of Border Health Commission initiatives, including this one up until this past year. And that's it. Thank you very much.